Hey, this is Sebastian Bach, and you're listening to the Rock Solid Podcast. Turn it up.
I can't afford to be. This is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away. A song away. A song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the Zoom room to promote the release of his first new studio album in 10 years called Child Within the Man, please welcome Sebastian Bach. How you doing, Mr. Bach?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Child Within the Man, the album comes out May 10th. I have had the pleasure of listening to it for weeks, and I'm going to tell you, it is 100% the best solo album you have ever released.
Well, I think it's the best album I've ever released.
Well, you know what? There is an argument to be made for that, because this thing is fantastic. Look, when veteran artists that I like release a new album, especially when there's been a 10-year period, you don't know what you're going to get. You're wondering, is this going to suck? You don't know. But my man, as soon as I dropped the digital needle on the first track, Everybody Bleeds, it just kicks off so perfectly. So congratulations on it. Straight up dangerous, cold-blooded venomous. The child who speaks that won't give in. Won't get a second chance. No time for sweet romance. For those who need us into sin. When I don't like what I see.
I'm so glad you dig it, and I love it too. I worked as hard as I could. Like yesterday, I spent all day signing album flats for record stores around the world, autographing copies of the album cover, and it's just so much fun to put something out. You know, I know it's been 10 years since the last record, but three of those were the pandemic, so you can't really count those. But
true.
Yeah. But, you know, all I tried to do was put out the best record I've ever put out, and people have been listening to Skid Row and Slave to the Grind and Subhuman Race for, you know, 35 years. So that's a high bar. So that's what my music has to match or equal or better. And right. I think I've done it as best as I can. I couldn't have tried any harder, and I couldn't love it anymore. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Well, look, it's not hyperbole. It's you did put in the work, and it shows. And the collaborations on this album are stellar. Let's talk about FU, which, of course, when people see that, they're going to think it means fuck you. But it's actually, I mean, we, you know, but that's what I thought until it started to play. But it's actually Fake You, co-written with Steve Stevens, who also provides lead guitar.
Cast out you fakers. Let out your haters.
Are these lyrics pointed at anything or anyone specifically?
Well, that's, you know, what's a funny thing too, is that I saw on Facebook the other day, Steve Stevens made a post, and his pedal is called the FU tone. Uh-huh. So I think he already uses that. I don't want to, I don't want to tell people exactly what the lyrics are about or anything, because, you know, I think it's cool if a listener has his own perception or meaning of something, and I don't want to say either or, but, you know, like, I wrote it in these crazy times that we live in. So how can I not look around at right. what's going on and write about it? Like, everybody bleeds. Like the first single, What Do I Got to Lose, is party, good time, rock and roll. Like, What Do I Got to Lose reminds me of Pour Some Sugar on Me. I told everybody that because of the mass appeal and groove and how big it is and everything. And there's other song, like the other song I think that is like that is called Future of Youth, which is with Orianthe, which yes. I can't get that chorus out of my head. Like, it will not leave my brain. And when that happens, something inside me says that'd be a good song to put out. You know,
I just can't take it. You know, I had enough. Say I should fake it. I say alienate out. And I try and hide it. My contempt for the shield. Ripped in this leader on a campaign to kill. Stand to resign, ain't nothing more to say. Tell me, don't stoke the fire. Tell me the truth.
And I was going to talk about Future of Youth. There's a lot of defiance in the lyrics of this album. Is this you getting out all of your pent-up frustrations?
Well, as best I can. Mm-hmm. And I want to connect with the listener. And so I write things that might be provocative or interesting, or hopefully it'll just make you think. But all I really, really, really try to do, and I've been doing many interviews about the record, and I try to explain this. I'm so influenced by Rob Halford of Judas Priest, and one thing that I always loved about his music is that, to me, his lyrics matched what the riff sounded like.
Yeah, the same intensity. The same yeah. intensity.
But, like, when I listen to a song like Desert Plains, it sounds like he's riding a motorcycle on the desert plains. I don't know why that is. Maybe that's just me. Solar Angels, it sounds like Solar Angels coming out of a UFO, coming down, touching down to rock. and that's what I do. I listen to the riffs that I like. I collect riffs from musicians that are my friends. And when I have enough to start on an album, I go through my lyric ideas and titles, which I have hundreds of, and I go, what does this riff sound like? What words? And I'll go through them, and that's how I do it. And that's how I do it. That's for me, that's from Halford. Cause I was always like, why does this riff sound just exactly like these words? It always freaked me out.
So thanks, Rob's always been an inspiration to you.
Well, yes, absolutely. When I was a kid, the first time I heard who that was and who it was, there was this kid at school. He goes, you got to hear this record. Unleashed in the East by Judas Priest. I had never heard of Judas Priest. I had never knew what that was. And I went to my buddy's house and he put the record on and he played Victim of Changes. And he goes, "You hear that?" I go, "Yeah, man, that's amazing guitar, man." He goes, "No, no, no, no." He goes, "That's his voice." I go, "No." I go, "No, it's not." He goes, "Yes, it is." I go, "No." And we played it over and over, like the ending of Victim Changes. And I didn't believe, I thought my friend was lying, and I couldn't believe that was the sound of a voice,
yeah,
of a human voice. Like, that's pretty heavy to have that sound.
That is. Now, since you told us about the first time that you ever heard Rob Halford, I want to tell you about the first time I ever heard your voice. I had moved to Chicago in February of 89, didn't have any money. So I would just go to record stores and, you know, look around. And one night I'm at the record store and they start to play the debut album by Skid Row. And right? big Guns plays, and I'm like, "Oh, that's amazing. Who is this?" And then they let the whole album play, and I stayed in the record store the whole way through the end of that album. And when I left, even though I didn't have any money, I bought that CD.
Well, thank you, Pat.
And at the time, I regretted it because I didn't have any money, but I don't regret it now. Amazing.
Well, that's really a cool story, and that was exactly 35 years ago.
Crazy.
Not 36, not 34. That was 1989. This is 2024. Yep. That's a 35-year anniversary. And we leave on Tuesday for South America, which we're doing some shows opening up. We're now co-headlining, but we're going on before Mr. Big in little arenas, like really big places. And then we're headlining some shows as well, where we will be doing the first album, Skid Row, in its entirety, just for the 35th anniversary. We'll be doing new songs from Child Within the Man as well. But we'll be doing that, the first album, in its entirety, because, you know, I like to celebrate an anniversary. 35 is a good year. We won't be doing that. There's only one show we're doing that at in America. Because the promoter said, "If you do that, I will give you this extra amount." We're like, "Are you fucking serious?"
And what,
like,
show? What show is this? Where is this going to be?
Which one is it? There's so many shows. I can't.
Okay. It's cool. It's
but
okay.
I will. I don't know which one it is, but it's in Kentucky. I don't know where it is, but right. I will post all that because we were laughing. We're like, "Oh my God."
That reminds me. Let me tell people. Website, SebastianBach.com, Twitter at Sebastian Bach, Instagram at Sebastian Bach, Facebook.com/Sebastian Bach. Within the Man will be released May 10th on all formats, including vinyl, all different colors, all different cool stuff. And I want to ask you about this album cover. Tell me about it. Who drew this? It's fantastic.
Wow. Well, that was done by my dad in the year 1978.
What?
That's me running at the age of 10, right next to that car. And I that painting has been rolled up in storage since the year 79. And it was the last painting my dad did of before he got divorced of my mom and remarried. And so it got like packed away, you know. And I had a roll of paintings in my storage that said paintings for Sebastian, Skid Row, Subhuman Race, 1994. And I go, this painting is getting old. I knew it was the original Subhuman Race painting that my dad did.
Yeah.
And I go, I better get this preserved and, you know, stretched out. And because there was only one.
Right.
So I unrolled it. And underneath that was this painting. Oh. And I go, oh my. And I forgot about this painting. And my project for this album in my brain, I wanted to see how close I could come to making a record that felt like it was put out like in 78 or 79. I know that's impossible, but that's my favorite era of music and collecting records. I collect that era and I love how those albums sound. Aerosmith Rocks and Rock and Roll Over and so many incredible records.
Heaven Tonight.
All of that never gets old, and it just sounds so cool. And I go, man, if you could have a record like Heaven Tonight, how cool, how great would that be? I know that's impossible, but I tried as hard as I could. And when I realized there's a painting of me as a child, and then I look up on the wall, and he also did a painting of me from the centerfold of Circus Magazine in 89, me on stage at Giant Stadium. And I looked right at that after I looked at this on the floor. And there's a line in the song, Everybody Bleeds, which says, child within the man, and it kept haunting me. And it was like from heaven, like my dad said, dude, here's your album cover, Child Within the Man. And I go, I gotta put the child within the man.
Absolutely. Oh. So now I'm afraid to ask this question. Is your father still with us?
No.
Okay. No. I'm so sorry about that.
Thank you, man. He also did the cover to Slave to the Grind by Skid Row.
Amazing.
Yes.
Well, what was your father's name?
David Burke, B-I-E-R-K.
Well, here at our show, we always say rock and peace. So rock and peace, David Burke. Great work.
Right on, man. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
All right. The album is out May 10th. The first tour date in Brazil is also May 10th. So far, there's no Los Angeles proper date. There's a couple dates around, but not one announced yet. Will there be?
We just played Los Angeles two nights ago.
Where was I? What the hell?
We headlined the Rainbow 52nd anniversary. It was a complete madhouse.
I'm pissed off I missed it.
It was nuts. It was totally nuts.
All right. Yeah, all right. Well, you got to come through with the new songs again.
We are playing Santa Ana, the conservatory where Bruce Dickinson just played, which is in Santa Ana. But we're going to be playing everywhere.
All right. You'll be in Ventura. I'll come up there.
Would love to do that, dude. I lived in Santa Rosa Valley for 3 years. I wrote a lot of this record in Santa Rosa Valley. A lot of it.
You produced by Elvis Basket. Now, am I saying his name right? Is it Basket or Basket?
Basket.
Elvis Basket. I came to know him from his work on the two most recent Mammoth WVH albums. How did you two hook up?
Well, believe it or not, we talked about working together way back on my first complete studio solo album, Angel Down. It didn't work out. I ended up doing that with Roy Z.
Also great.
He's amazing, and I love that album. But just like you, dude, when I heard that song, Distance by Wolfgang, I couldn't believe how great it sounded.
Yeah.
And it really was an emotional song. And I go, now that's a good sounding track. And I go, who did that? And I found out it was Elvis. And I go, that's my buddy who wants to who do a record with me. What am I doing? Like, that's so my management totally knows him, and he said, come to my studio in Orlando. And I go, we can't even go to the airport. I go, what do you mean come to your studio? I thought that wasn't even allowed. This was like 2021, like or the summer or something like that. I think it's all like a blur. And, but sure enough, Elvis, we all moved there. We lived there for a month. And I thought, oh man, I guess Orlando is different than California. I'm going to go to the beach and I'm going to go to Disneyland and I'm going to go to record stores and restaurants. And I did the first night, we did go to Disneyland and a restaurant. And then we were so wrapped up and enthralled with his studio that I never left. I didn't go out one time in a month. We just ordered DoorDash and that's the record. And we didn't go anywhere because he had his 1974 Neve console, which Queen recorded on.
Wow.
And that's what you're hearing, man. We didn't go anywhere. And it was me, Todd Kearns on bass, Jeremy Colson from Steve Vai's band on drums, and Devin Bronson on guitar, who I made my last record with, Give Him Hell, who I met through Duff McKagan. Duff's like, I know this guy who's got all these riffs, man. And he sure does.
and would this be the band on tour also?
No.
Who's Devin on tour?
Devin, the guitar player, is very much of a studio guy. He does commercials and he's very much a studio. He does do some live shows with me, but I've been playing with Brent Woods for decades and decades and decades. Brent Woods is in 1,000 different bands. He's also in Gene Simmons' band, and believe it or not, he's playing 2 shows with me on the first gig in Brazil next week. He's opening up for himself in the Gene Simmons band because we're opening for Gene.
Wow.
And Brent gets paid twice that day. More from Gene than me, I would think.
And who else is going to be on tour with you? Who's bass and drums?
I have a guy on bass named Clay Eubank, who I got from the band Bisto Blanco, who I saw on a cruise ship. And I saw this mother trucker's hair. And I go, well, if he's in the band, Sebastian Bach will not have the coolest hair in the Sebastian Bach band anymore. Because this guy, he's just a cool, amazing bass player. He looks great. Really nice guy. He never played LA before the other day. He's never been to Uruguay, that's for sure. And then I got Bruiser Brody, who's going to be in and out. See, you have to understand, like, if people are listening to this, I have over 60 shows in the next 2 months or 2.5 months. I go to South America on Tuesday. I come home for 4 days, and then I start USA tour, which is 40 cities or something like that. So
amazing.
So not everybody can leave home that long. It sounds crazy, but
I get it. I understand.
It's true. So I have guys. Guess what, man? My son, Paris, will be playing drums at some gigs. He already did one, and he kicked ass. He fucking kicked ass. And,
well, if he doesn't, then you withhold his allowance.
Yes, that's right. I sent him to dinner with no. Sent him to bed with no dinner.
No per diem for him.
That's right. There you go. Paris goes straight to the tour bus.
Hey, I still want to talk. I want to talk about a couple of tracks on the new album. This song, About to Break. I love this track. Wow. It's very poppy to my ears, and your voice just sounds so cool on this one specifically for me.
All I want is to say I'm sorry.
That's a very nice thing to say. It's a very emotional lyric that I wrote there that's very personal to me. And I got to say that guitar solo at the end by Devin Bronson is in that song is a masterpiece to me. Yeah. It's like something that Alex Lifeson would do. Like really, it builds up and at the end it's just beautiful. I'm like, man, you really went over, you went to town on this solo.
Above and beyond.
I think that track turned out great. And that was two different songs that Devin sent me demos of. And I made one song out of two songs. I took the best parts of both
and yeah. made it into one great song.
That's what I did. Yep.
I noticed on the lyric sheet that people will be credited with lyrics and melody. I've never seen melody be credited before on an album. Is this something that
that's interesting that you're asking that. Now wait, where you have the physical lyric sheet?
No. Your PR people were sent me the lyric sheet and
that's a very interesting question. And man, I got to answer that because I believe in giving credit where credit's due. I really do. I'm not one of these guys that says it's my band, so I'm going to put my name on every song. Like it just works out like that. It is my band. And so I want it, you know, to sound like me. So,
sure.
But anyways, what an interesting question. I got to answer you totally honestly. Sometimes I hear the melody on what to sing to a riff. Like if it doesn't say any other credit, like what do I, any song on there that doesn't have that, or it says melody by Sebastian. Sometimes I do hear what to sing. Here's the challenge for me. My range of my voice, I can sing low, really low, in the mornings anyways, and I can sing super fucking high, and I can sing in the middle, and I can sing clean, and I can sing dirty. So sometimes I'm like, what do I do here? And sometimes I need help. And a song like Hold On to the Dream, I heard that right away. Heard All About to Break, I heard it in my head what to sing.
Mm-hmm.
But the song Freedom, John 5.
Yeah.
I had that riff and that chorus for like 2-3 years. And I couldn't fucking think of, I thought of a bunch of melodies for that and they all sucked. They all were terrible. and I couldn't fucking think of a fucking, I couldn't. Everything I thought of was not half as cool as the music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah, I do know.
Like the music was so cool. I go, oh my God, I got to think of something that's fucking as good as this. And it just did not come to me. And when I got to Orlando, we all loved that music. And we worked in the music. And Elvis Basquette took me into the bathroom where it had all these tiles. And I go, dude, what do you hear? And I put the demo on my boom box. And he goes, okay. And he just started. And he thought of that. He, and I go, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I go, you gotta be, I go, why couldn't I, why? And it's perfect. And so doesn't he deserve credit for that? And like, I think he does.
Yeah. And the credits on that song read as follows. Lyrics, Sebastian Bach. Yes. Music, John 5, Sebastian Bach. And melody by Elvis Basquiat. And I'll tell you what, when you hire a guy like that, he's doing his work. He's earning that money.
But the song would have been terrible without that fucking, that. And then he goes in the verse, he goes, and I go, dude, I was laughing. I mean, it was really high. And I go, I can fucking do it.
Yeah.
And it was badass. I wrote every single word in that song, lyrics, which is, you know. Yeah.
You ain't got no time left to waste. Now we're kicking ass and taking names. That's freedom, buddy. That's from me, dude. That's great.
You know what? That also kind of goes back a little bit to Judas Priest, because on a couple of their records, they would credit who was playing the lead section, Glenn or KK.
Yes, exactly. They would.
But I found that fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, as a fan, I'd go, oh, wow, okay. That's fucking KK, that's Glenn, you know.
Yeah,
maybe the chorus of Freedom is so great that, you know, Elvis Basquiat, he's a fucking great producer, so why not give him the credit, you know? I mean that's credit. Just the way I am. That's the way I am. That's
credit for the work done, right. The first time I ever saw you live, Skid Row at the World Series of Rock 1990, Alpine Valley Music Theater in Troy, Wisconsin. Yeah. Hurricane Alice, I think, Bad English, Great White, Skid Row, and then White Snake closing it out. You guys were fantastic.
Thank you. I remember there's some pictures in Metal Edge magazine of that gig. And afterwards, we all, me, Steve Vai, David Coverdale, Tawny Catane, we all had a big bottle of champagne in David's room after the show. So that's some great memories.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask this question. What artists do you listen to that your fans might be surprised that you are a fan of?
That's a very simple question. No, first of all, that changes all the time because I'm a vinyl collector. I don't collect new vinyl that's like I do sometimes, but what I love, my passion is vintage first pressings. And I like hearing what the year sounded like, and I'm just fascinated by that. So I'll go record shopping all the time. I have like three rooms full of vinyl in my house.
Wow.
so like two, three months ago, like, I always loved the song Mississippi Queen. It's always been one of my favorite songs of all time. So Mountain. I bought a stack of Mountain records.
Yes.
And this album, Nantucket Sleigh Ride from 1971, has not left my turntable. I think it's a fucking masterpiece. It's Nantucket Sleigh Ride, the songs, there's more cowbell on this album than you can shake a cowbell at. Porky Lang, that's the answer. But that's the beauty of collecting vinyl. You can discover something from 71 that becomes your favorite thing right now in 2024. Yeah. And that's the answer, is Mountain. Leslie West, also his solo record. I got that too. And that's another good one.
And rock in peace, Leslie West. I want to mention November 2nd, 1991, Saturday Night Live, Skid Row. You guys were so powerful on that show. What a monster performance. My friend Mike Schmidt and I always talk about Monkey Business from that specific show. Unbelievable.
Once again, Skid Row.
Well, outside my window, there's a whole lot of trouble coming. The cartoon killers and the rain-covered clones. Heels kicking a rhythm of social circumcision. I can't close the closet on a shoebox for love.
Well, there's no computer laptops happening on that track.
No way. And you got to be in a sketch called Kitty Metal with Adam Sandler as Axel. And at the end of the sketch, you guys trashed the set. Was that scripted or did you guys just do it?
You know what? I'm not going to even answer that. If you think we just did it, let it go. I'm not going to wreck the
all right.
The memory's yours. The memory's yours.
One more time. Promotion on the album, Child Within the Man, at the top of Sebastian Bach's catalog as far as albums go.
Thank you for saying that, Pat. It comes out
May 10th. Go to SebastianBach.com for all things about the man and his band and the tour. And one final question, Sebastian.
Yeah.
I need a playout song for this episode. So any song from your entire career, what's the playout song going
to
be?
What do I got to lose? And can I also mention, you can get the album right now on Amazon. So, I mean, how easy is that?
Pre-order it.
Yeah, you can get the CD or the record. They're both on Amazon.
All right. Thank you so much, Sebastian. Continued success this year. I will try to look for you when I'm in Ventura at that show. And you have a stunning day.
Thank you, Pat. Great talking to you.
You too. Everyone else, please enjoy What Have I Got to Lose?
Yeah.
Later.
Once you wake up, it'll be too late. Oh,
babe. Well, at least you can give it a try.
All right,
guys, we're going to have to start wrapping it up.
All right,
Pat.
I knew Marcy was going to come in and yell at me. Okay.
Marcy's on it, man. She's on it.
She's not fooling around.